Jesus, our Abba Father, our Daddy, we recognize that you love us very much. You've given your Son that we might have life through Him. Indeed, you are the best. You're the Holy One. You're the Sovereign Lord. You're the giver of every good gift, and that includes moms and families and an opportunity to know your Son. Chaperone, assistant, so we just lift that up to you in faith, trusting that you'll provide. Father, we thank you also for mothers that really are in Christ in so many ways, and they pour out their lives for their families, and same way your Son did the same, so we thank you for them. We thank you for grandmothers, too. And Father, we want to just continue to lift up Sue Chow. We pray for her faith, that you with her, your sovereign work of comforting her and healing her and encouraging her family and friends to remain steadfast in faith. And Father, we pray for others that are sick or looking for work, or maybe all of us struggling and fighting against sin every day. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to fight this good fight of faith. Help us to run and run with endurance and run with our eyes focused and fixed on your Son, Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. We know that the good and the bad that you allow in this world, you do so for your glory, knowing that you have your sovereign purposes behind them. And so we recognize that too as a church body. Father, we also recognize that we suffer much in this world. This shouldn't be a surprise for any of us. And so we thank you that your Son has did the ultimate suffering for us on the cross, and he also gives us grace to suffer well in him. So we pray that with whatever we're facing, that you would help us to suffer well with your Son, that you would help us to bear his image. And Lord, we also pray that as we look into your word, help us to see you, to be encouraged through your truths. Help us to be reminded really how much you love us as you give us a love letter just to say we are not alone, that you've given us the gospel, you've given us everything for pertaining to life and godliness. And so, Father, we pray that you would speak to us individually and corporately. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, happy Mother's Day. For me, it is a blessing and joy to not just have one mom, not just two, not just three, but four moms. Biological step mother-in-law and stepmother-in-law. So I am blessed in multiple ways, and in terms of grandma, there's, I think, flows out of six mothers. But to be honest, Mother's Day, I think before the fact that God laid it out in our calendar to remember moms. It was often a sad day for me because, this is one day I remember my mom who passed away 34 years ago, and it's just like, it's mom. And these days, now that I live on the East Coast, my dad sends me a picture of them putting flowers at the gravesite, and I'm like, I miss mom a lot, but at the same time, I'm thankful for just the as a family visited a Presbyterian church. So that's the first time my family or kids, particularly my kids, ever been to every liturgical, planned out, every detailed kind of church. And it was good. We're able to talk and discuss that experience. So we missed you, but I'm glad Pastor Jerry was here to serve you guys well. The title of today's message is The Missional Mom. And really, I wanted to write the book on this, sort of. I've always kind of thought, missional mom sounds great, but there's a gal by the name of Helen Lee who actually wrote this book. So I'm basically borrowing her title of a book for the sermon. So, but at the heart of it, I'm not sure how we think about motherhood. But again, I am thankful when I think of motherhood. I think of my wife quickly, and then I go, I know she's a mother three times because she has three kids. But I also recognize that moms have a high calling. And the high calling is to be, in one sense, a Christ-honoring, gospel-centered, missional mom. And so the Great Commission applies to all Christians, whether you're old or young, male or female, fathers or mothers in this case. So as we look at today's passage, we're going to focus on the passage. It really applies to all of us, but I'm going to have specific applications for mothers this morning. In Mark chapter 16 or 17, we are reminded of the Great Commission from Mark instead of Matthew. Jesus says, and he, Jesus, said to them, disciples in front of them, but really all Christians everywhere, all time, including us today, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. So this has been God's plan forever, that the gospel would go forth to all nations. The clarion call is really to repent and to believe in the gospel, to believe in Jesus Christ. This reverberates all over the world. And I want to say, by God's grace and through faithful Christians, evangelism is happening everywhere. It's happening in jungles where missionaries need to land planes on grass runways. It's happening in coffee shops called Starbucks. It's happening in vehicles or cars, in Uber and Lyft vehicles. I remember my brother said, yeah, I want to get hired for Lyft or Uber, and he did both. And he said, it's a great opportunity to share the gospel because you're driving, you go how fast or slow you want or whatever. They just kind of listen to whatever you talk about, so give them the gospel. I was like, that's a wonderful idea. And so, Christians are missionaries everywhere to simply show and share Christ. Right? We also know in John 17:18, we know that God the Father sent the Son, and the Son calls us as missionaries into the world. So, see in this passage, Jesus says, as you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them, the disciples, into the world. That's Jesus' high priestly prayer. And so, as I just think of it in a basic sense, the Christian call for everyone is to be a normal Christian, and a normal Christian is to be a missionary. Okay? A missionary is someone really who speaks the gospel to anyone. And so at this point, we're basically talking about a matter of location. Some God calls internationally and far to learn a different language. And many of us, God calls us simply to be faithful here. And there are times I believe God calls some moms and some mothers far domestically and internationally. But I believe for most moms, God calls moms to really establish a missional outpost, namely their home, as a place of gospel ministry. And this comes in many forms for moms. When the baby is young, the missional location is the crib side. Or maybe when you're changing your baby's diaper and they might squirt on you. Liquid, that's being a missional mom. Going with the kids to practice or to a ball game and sitting with the other parents, not on your phone, but actually interacting with them. The missional location for mom is often the kitchen table, where as you drive your children in your car or van, you could just be silent in the car or use those opportunities to talk to your kids about the gospel. Or at maybe your grandma is looking back like, oh, grandma, I didn't think about it that way, but it's not too late. You can change your thinking and redeem the time. For those of you who are younger, you're not moms yet, understand, when you become a mom one day, it's a call. It's a calling to you, like, to evangelize your children, right? Really, your children, or children know about God primarily through mom and dad in so many ways, and later on the church, but the first view of what God is like is seen and demonstrated through the mom. And that's what we look at. Five encouragements for missional moms from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 17. So if you have your Bibles, it's a good time to open them. And if you have to turn them on, turn them on. But I want you to see this passage as I lay out point by point and verse by verse as we look at this passage together. My hope is that you would be encouraged. Your soul would be encouraged. So, the first encouragement is found in verse 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. The point here is missional moms need to get a grip of being a jar of clay. Okay, a jar of clay. No mom can complain, can't claim, you know, we have it all together. So those sub-moms think they have it all together. They get the makeup on, the dress, and they go around. Everything looks really good. They got the kids all orderly. But there are times there's cracks, and it shows in different ways. Some moms, you know, really got it together, and they're, like, known in the city or community. And that's a super mom. Look, she looks great. The kids are in order. But there's times when they go home, or maybe the kids did comply with them the way they hoped, and mom thought it was all about me, but as Christine said, it's not. We all know that, and things don't go as we hope. And so, encouragement here is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says here, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. What is this treasure? To show that the surpassing power belongs to God. So, when you look at the phrase jars of clay, it refers basically to clay pots. These were breakable, they were cheap, they were replaceable, they were around the home, they were used to put money in, they were used to put jewelry in, they were used to put important documents in at the time. They're home to put, they were also used to put garbage in, and they're also used to put human waste in. That was the toilet bowl of the time, right? And so as Paul is writing this letter, I believe he viewed himself as this clay pot, this lowly, common, expandable, and replaceable clay pot. And what Paul is literally saying, we're all clay pots. God doesn't need us, but he definitely wants to work inside us, in and through us, to glorify himself anywhere. He wants to display his power in and through us. And so, we see in the latter part of this verse, it is God who wants to work through mothers to show the surpassing power belongs to God. And so, as we admit and confess that we are frail and expendable, God makes it super clear that it is he who saves and rescues and redeems us. And it is also he who transforms us. And it is he who is transforming and chiseling Christ out in your life as you are a mother. Okay? And it is God who literally saves, sanctifies, and sends you as mothers. But I want you to know without a doubt that salvation belongs to the Lord. And we understand salvation. It's not just that God saves you and you're justified from the penalty of sin. It is God who also sanctifies you. He uses motherhood and all the challenges we'll see in verse 8 to transform you as you go through the challenges of motherhood along with the Spirit of God and the Word of God working in your life. And so, as we look at verse 8, as long as I think you, we have all, not we, if you churches is saying he is weak. He is not adequate. He needs the power of God working in and through him to strengthen him to do all that God used him to accomplish his mission. In the same token, Paul wants to remind us that you are weak. You are inadequate. But God wants to work in and through you. And so as you look at this passage, I want to just ask you, moms, can you relate to this? Do you ever feel afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down? I want to say, from the moms I know, that there are times that it's like that. Moving beyond moms, sometimes as just living out your Christian life, you might feel this way. As you live out your Christian life in the workplace, at school, there are times I definitely feel like that. I'm serving here as your pastor here. And so we also see more encouragement as we move down in chapter 4, verse 10, to see how God works in jars of clay, moms, and people like you and me. It says here, always, God is always, Paul is always, basically always saying he's suffering. And in this way, carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So what's Paul saying? Christians are basically persecuted. We suffer because why? Jesus was the object of suffering and targeting in his life. And so we should not be surprised at what we experience the same. But the big thing here is the latter part of this verse that says, so that. We see that. You need to understand that there's a purpose clause here. In the Greek, they call it a hidden purpose clause. There's a purpose in play here. The life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. See, Jesus didn't just die. What? We sang this. We celebrated this on Easter. He rose again. And when you believe in him, you can be saved. But also, it causes us and gives us his power to live lives with his resurrection power. And in this case, in this passage, that the life of Christ would be manifested in our bodies. In this jar of clay, in our expendable bodies, in which Paul referred to himself as his lowly, weak, disposable jar of clay. So Christ wants to manifest himself in and through us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4, verse 10, and B, we see why is there suffering? And I touched that a little bit, so that the life of Jesus may be displayed in our bodies. Understand that the apostles suffered in the same way. Jesus suffered in the same way. And we see on the flip side, the false prophets did not suffer because why? They were fraud. So they didn't experience this. But what I think Paul wants to point out as we look at the rest of this passage, more than anything, what's highlighted here is that God wants to work in and through us. And so if you jump to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, we see and get a glimpse of more insight. God, I want you to know, as you struggle, as we struggle in life, as a Christian, as missional moms, as missional dads, male and female, God's grace is sufficient for you. He's giving you enough for this life, without a doubt. So we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, Paul speaking, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in self-sufficiency. Having it all together? No. My power is made perfect in weakness. Okay? This flies in the face, I think, of many of us, because I think we're trained to put up a good face, to be strong, to not show our emotions or our feelings, but to plaster on our face and just wake up in the day and say, okay, I'm doing okay. I said to someone earlier this week, sometime as your pastor, I feel like I need to put up a front. But other times, I just want to say, I'm tired of this. I'm weak. I'm fragile. I'm tired. And it's better to just come to it in this sense. Just say I'm weak, Gary. I'm weak. necessary here. Let's go around and say, I'm weak. You know, I'm weak. I can't do it. I'm unable to do it. So that the power of Christ may rest in me. And Paul, in this case, the moms today and in the days to come, but all of us. For the sake of Christ, Paul says, then I am content with weakness, insult, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is very interesting. This is not the way we intuitively work and think, that we would be strong in the midst of hardship, persecution, and calamities. So in other words, as God dishes out, in one sense, or allows persecution to happen in your life, and evil people to come into your life and do evil things, even malicious things to you, and cause you to suffer and not sleep and to have nightmares, God basically is saying, hey, when I am weak, then I am strong. And I think Paul had a lot of this, if you think about it. I mean, he was what? Whipped? Yeah. He worried about his life. He was chased around. People wanted to kill him. I have experienced people say, hey, I want you to harass you, but I haven't had anyone who wants to kill me yet. Even though I had a pastor friend who was shot in the pulpit one time, and then he died, and the family was left behind. So sometimes I think we should, you know, put ironclad, you know, bulletproof things, like a duck's bullets there or something. But seriously, sometimes I'm scared for my life, to be honest with you. Sometimes I want the security guard to stand right next to me, just saying and just sharing. But the real point here, Paul is simply saying, when I am weak, I find my strength in Christ's sufficiency. In Christ's sufficiency. In Christ alone. And it's not Christ plus. Though the encouragement of the saints, the saints' body of Christ is encouraging. And when the church extends grace in that way, I am thankful. And mothers, when you guys encourage each other in small groups with their texts and emails, that's a means of grace from God to you, to your fellow sisters. When you come together and pray for each other, it's another means of grace in your lives. And so, number two. We're at number two. Great. I'm going slow again. Number two, Mr. O'Moms, you must stamp eternity on your eyeballs. Right? This is a weird concept, but it's a biblical one. This is not some kind of contact that you place on your eyes. Jonathan Edwards stated this statement in his prayers, but it really comes from this passage. But what Paul is simply saying, in your persecution, in your suffering, have an eternal perspective on life. In your motherhood, being moms, have a big picture perspective. Even when your kids are defiant and running away and doing the opposite of what you say through their childhood, teenage years, and even adulthood, have an eternal perspective is what Paul is saying. Look beyond all the milestones, walking, talking, birthdays, junior high, driving, high school, prom, whatever, graduating from high school. Have your eyes fixed on eternity. And if you like cartoons, think Buzz Lightyear, think infinity and beyond. Let's have the big picture in mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, here it is. Knowing that he, Jesus Christ, who raised the Lord, knowing that he, God, who raised the Lord, Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus. Bring us to him into his presence. In other words, one day God will raise us up and bring us back into God's presence. And so our life is not just this life. We live in light of the life to come always. And so what does that mean? It's to wrap your mind around the present in view of eternal things. And only two eternal things that I know in this life. You guys know them? Word of God eternal souls. But I find it interesting, if that's the case, if we're to wrap our lives around eternal matters, then what C.T. Studd must mean true to all of us. He says, only one life to soon be passed was only done for Christ will last. And so, I think we seriously need to get a grip of how we live our life. And the book of Ecclesiastes helps us. This is a book about telling us what all of the worldly pursuits that we can pursue in this life, to find pleasure in, success, money, drinking, sex. But he says it's all like striving after the wind, trying to grasp the wind to satisfy your soul. He says it's not possible to grasp the wind. And so, if your mind is on eternal matters and thinking toward the future, it needs to connect eternal souls and God's eternal word together. So as you carry out your life as missional moms, think. As missional moms, are you careful to disciple and own your own personal discipleship and personal growth, to grow in Christ? As missional moms, do you care about the fact that your children hear and see the gospel through you, through your church, and as much as you possibly can tell and share it to them? As missional moms, do you care about kingdom priorities and make sure your kids are exposed to gospel-centered teaching? Or as Helen Lee said in her book, she's just brutal. She's speaking as an Asian American mom. She goes, most moms, if we are really honest, what we care about most is going to the best school, getting the best grades, getting the best SAT, getting the best ACT, getting to the best college, getting to the best job, getting to what? The best retirement plan, and along the way, getting the best phone, the best car, the best home. And along the way, you like to compare to others. My kid has better grades than you. I got a better job than you. I got a better car than you. I got a higher 401k than you. Yes, at some level, this is us. I want you to know that. At some level, we're a little growing in this area, but that's us. I mean, when I read this statement, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a church. We do this funny thing. We call ourselves Christians, and we kind of blend it together, and we have all this worldliness mixed together. Think eternal. A stamp eternity on your eyeballs. And we'll move to the next point. Number three, missional moms are thrilled to know that God's grace extends and increases. We see in verse 15, basically the same idea. Moms, you could be thrilled to know this. That God, as God's grace extends more and more people, it may increase your thanksgiving. And also, to the glory of God in this passage. And so, God wants to work in and through you to just help you to see every good gift comes from Him, and simply to give thanks. And when you're suffering and struggling, or feel like you need more of what this world offers, remember that you have all that you need in Christ. In Christ alone. Fourth, missional moms know the reality of the real self. I like this one, verse 16. And as you're struggling and things are hard and things are difficult, and I know this mom concept plays into us in different ways. Some of us may have moms, some of us may have moms that passed, some of us may have regrets, and we're all looking at different perspectives. But know this, in verse 16, so we don't lose heart. God gives us His grace and He multiplies it over and over, so that we won't lose heart. Because He knows that's a temptation for all of us to lose heart. I often lose heart. I'm just like, man, I'm tired of this. I want to lose heart. I'm getting old, and my body's wasting away. I'm looking at this passage, and it says, there are a so I get that. The years go by, and it's wasting away. And for women, I mean, to be real honest, there's only so much makeup and so much surgery can use to cover it up. Eventually, the reality is going to show. We see the wrinkles. I mean, you cover it, and we'll recognize you're beautiful in Christ. But the reality is the Bible says we're wasting away. But the great news is the latter part of this verse. Our inner self is being renewed day by day, and that's good. And no one can take that away. If you're growing in Christ, you can say, yeah, I might be looking a little different as the years go on, but in my soul, I'm feeling really good. Because what? God is doing amazing work in my heart to know Him, to encourage my soul, to be happy, and to be satisfied with God's grace in my soul and in my heart. And then fifthly, we show moms that you must see with eyes of faith and the weight of glory. As we show moms, you are no strangers to stress, to anxiety, to trouble, to heartache, to pain, in this life. And you labor and do all these things in what? A fallen world. So this makes it hard. You're working with kids that are fallen, that are sinful. And then, well, you still have a sinful flesh to deal with. And you're in a world that's hell-bent to turn people away from Jesus to the things of this world. It is difficult. It feels like, what? You're fighting for Jesus. I'm this little tiny light, and everything is dark, and it's just difficult to think, oh, how am I going to make a difference as this little light? And so Paul says, hey, verse 17, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. In other words, the affliction, everything that you're going through now, no matter how difficult you think it is, I said to my kids recently, this has been the hardest year of my life, the last year and a half by far. It was worse than the previous 30 years added together. But as I look at this, I got to say the Bible's right. It is momentary light affliction. In short, in the grand scheme of things, it's a dot on the blip of eternity. So it's not a year. Well, it is more a year, humanly. But from God's perspective, He's looking at it and saying, Paul, all the stuff that you've gone through, is this blip. Scope of time. All the stuff you're going through, others, this is a blip. Let's go. Eternity. I'm going to land, but I'm looking for the kids to come in. Are they ready? I hope. All right. So we're just going to land this plane, and it will have the kids come in. But I want to say this much. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And I want to say to my mom who's not alive, I miss you, Mom, but maybe I'll see you later. I don't know for sure. And for the moms in this room, I thank you for all that you do for your children, your husbands, and even your own moms and grandmas, all that you do for your children and grandchildren. Lastly, just remember this, and moms to be student teenagers, when you become moms one day, you are the primary discipler, evangelist of your children. So don't forget that. I gotta pray, and hopefully you're ready. Father, we thank you so much to be reminded of this wonderful passage of God's amazing grace. The sufficiency we find and experience as we recognize more and more and more, really, we are weak. We are mere common clay pots that you want to manifest yourself in and through, that you would be glorified and that others might know you. And so we just trust that you'll work this out. In moms, particularly this day, in the days to come and the years to come.